and the songs that we've sang and the prayers that we've had and the things that we've done, we could go home and still have fulfilled the things that God wants us to do right now. And that we may learn and be filled with the divine nature. As we look at our lives and we think about when we depart this building and we go out into our life in this world, we, as children of God, recognize that Jesus had taught us about the fact that we are in the world but not of it. We understand that the world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that there's a great need for us as His children that we be reminded to walk with Him always and all the time. We've talked about being in unity with God, the one faith, the one body. To understand that everything is knit together, every word, every deed that we do, always goes back to God. And that we are accountable for everything that we do and say. We know that His whole creation was for His own good pleasure. And it's all knit together. Everything affects something, somewhere, someone, some creature. And that we need to understand about the order of God and what He would have us to do. And He calls on us as children of God when we look to Him and believe Him, trust in Him, that we surrender ourselves, that we may become new creatures, creatures that God had created but had strayed from the path of light and walked in darkness. And He gives us an opportunity to come back to Him and have fellowship with Him, a relationship with Him that is beyond our comprehension. And we focus a lot on saving ourselves from eternal judgment, condemnation. But the world is condemned already. So it's nothing that we have to work out to try to figure out how to skirt that issue. It's the fact that God wants us to pull us out of that condemnation and reconcile us to Him that we might have peace with Him. And He's done that through Jesus Christ. And we look at the Word of God and we find that it's important for us that we walk with Him and that we walk in the light and that we walk in the love of God. This morning we'll talk a little bit about walking in the wisdom of God. The last song that we sang talked about trust for God, that we might trust Him as we should. I think I've read this scripture before, but I'll read it again in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. And it says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you, being the Ephesian disciples, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And there are so many concise sentences in the Bible that we pick out and look at and read, but all of them remind us of the need to trust God, have confidence in God, to believe God. And we've summed that up in one word, faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That we may build our trust and confidence on God. That we may believe more today than we did yesterday. Just not more facts, but believe. Trust. Have faith in God. It's like in the time when He performed miraculous deeds and gave people the power to perform miraculous deeds. They had to trust God and have confidence in God. Paul many times was reminded, trust God, when he was on that ship, you know, going to Rome. The waves lashing the boat, the rain in his face. He tried to convince them. Can you imagine that? And I think it's Acts 27. He stands up and tells the people that are sailors, merchants, ship owners, and here you have this man, not a boat owner, not a captain of a boat or anything else. And he tells them, he says, you should have listened to me. because he had warned them before about the trip they were going to make and what was going to happen, and they were fearing their life. They were doing everything they could to save themselves, but it all boiled down to the fact they didn't pay attention to Paul. And he stands up in the midst of them and says, "You should have listened to me." He says, "I believe God." And that's the whole thing. He believed God. So they needed to trust and have confidence in what Paul said. And those things came from God. And that it was going to happen that way. I believe God. That's important. You need to trust God. We need to trust Him to the praise of His glory. And in verse 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." How much do you trust God? How much do you want from God? You know, everything that we want from God, He wants us to practice that. You want God to forgive you of your sins? He said, "Forgive others." It's not going to work any other way. We have to think like God. And that's the whole process of this walking with God. Learning from Him. See, Jesus said, you've got to learn from Him. And to understand what the process is about being able to speak the same thing, have the same mind, and have the same judgment. To walk in this love of God, keeping His commandments. The Bible even mentions that. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep the commandments." 1 John says, the love of God, keeping the commandments of God. And it's just not legalism. You know, just do 10 good things versus 9 bad things and I'm in, you know. It doesn't work like that. And to understand the reality of walking with God. And this is why this morning we're going to look a little bit at the wisdom of God in the scriptures that were read this morning, just before I approached the pulpit here. And to understand that it's important for us, if we're going to walk with God, we need to walk in the wisdom of God, in His wisdom. Because you cannot walk with Him in any other kind of wisdom. And this is why, as we think about being in Christ Jesus and we want to obey the gospel, if we haven't already obeyed the gospel, that we might be put into Jesus Christ and then to renew our thinking. And to not be conformed to this world, but that we may be transformed. And in the process of being baptized for the remission of our sins, the blood of Christ washes away our sins, but yet we are born again that we may walk in newness of life. And that means some new wisdom. A better quality of wisdom. Not the wisdom of the flesh, but the wisdom of God to make the decisions that we need to make in life with the wisdom of God. You know, it's always said, you know, what is wisdom? It's being able to use knowledge the right way. And that's important. You know, Satan quoted scriptures to Jesus Christ. Problem is, he didn't use the wisdom of God in those words. And Jesus did. And it all is pointed together. You can't pitch one scripture against another scripture. They are intertwined. They work together. There's oneness in all of this. We have a tendency to compartmentalize our spirituality or compartmentalize, well, sin here, and different kinds of sin here, and righteousness here, and salvation here, and certain things here that we can pick and choose or that we can do. But it's all together. One thing affects something else, whether it's this side or that side. And to understand the wisdom of God. And he points out to us these things. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." I'm reading from New King James Version, circumspectly. You may circumspectly take it from word, make a circle. You know, look around, you know. Look around you, see what's going on. If you've ever been out in the woods, if you, you know, there, you got to watch what you're doing. You got to watch where you're going. You got to walk circumspectly. You got to look out for things. You drive down the highway, you drive circumspectly. You know, you're looking, gathering information. We have to do that. And stay on course. Walk in the path of righteousness. Walk in the light. That truly we might be with God always, because that's where He is the light. And that truly we might be His always. It means being awake. Christ gives the light. Mark 13:35. We need to watch. He warns us. I mentioned many times concerning the fact that the Bible has many promises. Peter talked about that. The promises that are in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we preach the gospel, what are we doing? We're warning one another. All through the Bible, Paul writes this down by inspiration. That's the reason that they preached it. It's to warn us. You know, years and years ago, you used to see down the highways, you know, these signs of judgment. You know, the end is coming. You usually think of Barbasol shaving cream or something, you know, but judgment's coming, you know. And those signs of warning, people get on a soapbox and judgment's coming. The end is near. And God's been saying that for centuries. And that we are warned. This gospel, this good message, is a warning. Mark 13:35-37, he says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Need to watch for him. You know, he knows we need to sleep. But have the mindset to watch for the Lord. Where's he going to come from? What's he going to do when he comes? You know, a lot of people are trying to get all that together. They think when he comes, that's when everything's going to be straightened out. When he comes, and he'll literally be here, and, you know, the lions will lay down with the lambs in the nice green grass fields, and everybody's going to love each other and everything. And that's a whole different doctrine and wisdom than what God said. Jesus Christ can't set foot on this earth again as a king. The Bible says so. People miss those scriptures. You read Jeremiah, read Matthew. Jesus Christ, those people in his family, they had a curse on them. No, none of their descendants would be able to be a priest and king at the same time on this earth. And those people just happen to be in the lineage where Jesus Christ came from on side date. But a lot of people just overlook it. They don't see that wisdom there and use the knowledge that they have in the right way. We got to wake up. We got to understand. Children of the day. Children of light. See? And that we may truly walk in the wisdom that's there. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Being busy. But it's interesting. You know, the Bible says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Can you believe that? I think it's in Proverbs or something. Psalms. Buy the truth and sell it not. You know, there's some things that you purchase, right? But, you know, somebody comes along and gives you some more money for it, you'll sell it to them. There's businesses operate like that. That's what makes the world go around a lot of times. Something better comes along. You get something out of it, see. And of course the flesh is thinking that way. What's in it for me? When I wake up in the morning, the flesh is going to say, what's in it for me? Yeah. And the flesh will tell you, I don't feel like it. Or the flesh will say, oh yeah, go get it. And you have to be careful, you know, about that kind of determination and consent and trust and confidence and what you're going for. Paul said he kept his eye on the prize of the high calling of God. And we need to focus on that and think about that and be busy in buying the truth, whatever it costs you, purchase it, and hold on to it. Don't give it away. Don't sell it out. Okay? That's what he's telling us. Simple words. Every day's got enough evil to take care of itself. You don't have to add anything to it. And to understand how God is going to help us walk in His wisdom, that we truly may keep the truth in us and walk with Him. Verse 17. Therefore, and that's what that was for, what I just read, it's there for this, okay? Therefore, do not be unwise. Don't be unwise, God says. He's looking at us as human beings, and He says, don't be unwise. What? Well, how can I not be unwise? Well, get wise, but the right kind. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And it's important to understand what the will of the Lord is. And God never tells us to do something that we can't do. You know, some people say, I just can't do it. God has to help me understand the Bible. And it's sad to say there are a lot of people that are Christians, members of the Lord's body, that really they don't understand the work of the Spirit. And some people have told me that the Holy Spirit helps them understand what the Bible says. No. Some people think that, but you're going down a pretty shaky path if you're depending on that to happen. How do you even know if the Spirit's telling you the right thing or not? And God never puts us in a situation where we don't have enough facts. Only man does that. Only the flesh does that. Only Satan deceives us into thinking that, well, we don't have the whole thing. You know, and that's what I've heard from people for years. I went to a meeting in 92, I think, in Nashville. And they had all these big preachers and all this from all the different camps of churches. Liberal, conservative, way out, ultra-liberals and all that. And it boiled down to the fact, and here's what they said, that we need a new interpretation of the Bible. Because we can't do those old things. New hermeneutics, they said. So they could continue to do what they were doing in their wisdom, not in God's wisdom. It's pretty simple how God has laid this out about saving yourself and collectively what we do. And has given those messages, and we have to understand that. Just listen to God. Just do things that are pleasing to God. And He never gave us license to sit around and decide with our wisdom the best way to do what He wants us to do. You know, granted, there are methods, like words and how people say things. Matter of fact, He tells us preachers, He says, you speak the truth in love. You speak the truth in humility. What's the key word there? Well, it is speak the truth.
And then it's like Jesus told the people. He says, the Pharisees, they read the Scriptures. You listen to them. They're reading those Scriptures, God's Word, but don't do after their works. Where did their works come from? In the carnal flesh. Because they didn't trust God's Word, have confidence in it. And we have never been given license to decide what is good about God's Word and what's not good about God's Word and about what He wants us to do. Never. And granted, we have certain liberties in our judgment about what time we want to meet and how that He really tests us in our relationship with one another about bearing the scruples of one another on certain issues. But there are certain things that are just plain and simple that people need to pay attention to rather than twisting and perverting the Scriptures to their own destruction. And people say, oh, well, you can't lose your soul over a little thing like that. And, you know, you've heard that argument about different issues, different things in those issues. Where'd you read that in the Bible? Show it to me. I want to know. You know, if you find out something that I don't know or that I'm mixed up on, I want you to tell me about it because I don't want to displease God. I want to walk in His wisdom. I urge people, tell me. I believe what I believe right now, but if there's evidence presented to me that I have to change something, I'm going to do it. You tell me the truth. I'm looking for the truth. I want to do what the truth says. But I trust God. I don't trust man. And this is what God is saying. And this is how He wants us to focus on that and to be understanding God's will. Paul said in Ephesians 3:3-4, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. It's really that simple. Read it. You can't read? Well, God will take care of those things. But He says if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you want to be filled with the truth of God, He'll see to it that you are able to see it, hear it, make a decision on it. But be wise, understanding, to just not people that are in the church, but everywhere. In every aspect of life. You know, we sometimes we'll put Christ on, all right, but then we'll take Him off. But then we need to put Him back on in certain situations, right? It's kind of a hit and miss proposition. I'll lapse into righteousness or I'll lapse into unrighteousness. Kind of have this idea that it's a give or take situation. You know, I can turn it on and off when the light ought to be on all the time. And to understand the source, to understand what God is saying. Colossians 4, verses 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. See, you can't give a canned presentation about what God's doing for people. Sure, you can point out a general thing. But when you sit down eyeball to eyeball with somebody, it's going to be a little bit different. They might be motivated by something else. They might be thinking something else. They might know a little bit more about the Bible than somebody else does. It's not a canned presentation about being a Christian. You look at a Christian. We're all different, but we have the same mind, speak the same thing, have the same judgment when it's concerning pleasing God. And then other things come in, you know, that we bear with one another on, scruples and judgments about certain things. But to focus on pleasing the Father first. and then being able to work all this out. You know, to work the righteousness of God in our thinking about other people's interests, about their conscience, about... See, it's filled... Everything about being a Christian is always about you. It's not me or somebody else. It's you. And everything that He wants you to do never has anything to do with what I might do to you or even for you. You ever notice that? About the gospel, about the righteousness of God, about walking in His wisdom, about where He wants us to think. It's always about, I have to think about somebody else's conscience. Can you get that? He commands us, each one of us, to read that, you know, consider the other conscience. Well, no, I'm going to be like Corinthians. I know that this going into this temple or eating this meat offered to this idol is nothing, and I'm going to do it regardless of what you think about it. God said that. I don't like that. He said that's hateful. He says you need to learn to love and be able to bear the scruples. You need to understand something about the conscience of somebody else. And what is conscience? It's inner knowledge. That's why we all need to learn of Him. So it makes it easier to be able to communicate to one another, to speak the same thing, have the same judgment, see, and have the same mind. If we're in Christ, it's so much easier to work with each other and love one another. You know, the righteousness of God. Redeeming the time. But to those outside, you got to be wise. You know, some people think they don't need to show the wisdom of God to people outside. And so they walk a certain way with certain peers. Put Christ on here, take Him off over here. Paul said He was all things to all men, but notice something. It never was without Christ. You need to understand that. About the way people think and what they're doing. It's all about Christ. It's all about God and being in His wisdom. Renew the mind. Renew the mind. Soak it in. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Eat God's Word. Digest it. Let it assimilate within you. Verse 18 of Ephesians 5 reminds us of this, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He's all the time telling us Christians. You ever notice the Bible's written to people that have obeyed the gospel? How many times He has to tell us to love one another? Well, I mean, the world needs to do that, right? How many times does He remind us that Jesus shed His blood for us? How many times does He need to remind us how much He loves us? How many times does He need to remind us of what He's doing for us? And that we can call on Him, that He is powerful, that He can support us, that He can strengthen us, that He can fight our battles. How many times does He has to tell us all the time? Because you know what us human beings do? If you don't use it, you lose it. You've heard that, right? We know that about the world, right? In the things in the world, if you don't use it, you lose it. You don't exercise a muscle, you're going to lose it. You don't exercise a brain cell, you're going to lose it. Same, the spirituality is connected with all that. You don't use it, you're going to lose it. It means application of the facts that we learn. The thing about God's Word is living and abiding. Living Word of God. See? It's never just dead, sitting on a page, sitting in our mind, sitting on the heart. It doesn't sit there. It's living. It's breathing. Functioning. That God may be glorified. Be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 6, 8. Again, throughout the Scriptures, we are reminded many times For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Do you believe it? How much of that has to be? Well, this is what God says. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So if I have a 3/4 cup of seed for the Spirit, that's got to outweigh the 1/4 cup of seed for the flesh, right? You don't do that. A farmer won't do that. Tares and the wheat, different kinds of things that Jesus talks about to help us focus on being wise in Him. The fruit of the Spirit, remember that again, the singularity of this, but the Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's interesting that God tells us that, right? And common sense shows you that. What there's no law against? What is law for? And to understand law, the perfect law of liberty. It isn't liberty to be in sin, because the perfect law of liberty takes you out of it, away from it, and gives you a different attitude toward it. Paul said he looks back at the cross and the world was crucified to him and he to the world. You know, the old line in the movies, "You're dead to me." Well, that's exactly what you kind of attitude you should have toward the carnal mind and the passions of the flesh. Your own thinking. Anything of the world and not in the wisdom of God is dead to me. And God took the first steps in being able to get rid of all that that was previous to obedience to the gospel. But you know something? If you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. To understand that. It's a continual process. Your salvation is nearer today than it was in the beginning. Continual process. Don't slack up. Think about what God says. Everything is to His praise. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Paul told the Corinthians to sing with the Spirit and the understanding. And to understand that, psalms, it's praising the name of God, the power of God, the character of God. And you think about, well, a hymn, what is a hymn? It's thanksgiving, it's supplication. Believe it or not, God wants you to talk to Him about what you think you need. Notice I said, what you think you need. You know, God's not going to criticize you for some requests that you might have. It might be out of line. And He teaches us in the Bible, be careful what we do ask for and how we ask for it. In other words, what motivates us to ask for certain things. And we have to be aware of that so it doesn't fall on a deaf ear. And God is teaching us and edifying us by use of us. Because every time we assemble together, it's for edification. Some people think they've got to get us into the assembly for doing the things that they need to do on that first day. For the Lord's Supper, for giving, for a song, for a prayer, for a preacher, whatever it may be. But that's really not what it's about. He said that when you come together, look in 1 Corinthians 9. Everything they were to do was for edification of the body. Ephesians 2 talks about that. For edification of the body of Christ. So that we may encourage one another, teach and admonish one another through these songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs, inspirational, devotional. inspire each other to walk with God, help each other to do that. You know, the whole soul of purpose of Barnabas, even walking around on this earth, what was his mission in life? He was called the brother of encouragement. You know, he did that a whole lot better than somebody else did, because that's what he was called. And not all of us do the same thing. Well, he gives that illustration to Corinthian church, right? Nose, eyes, ears, hand, feet, whatever. And our speech, to understand this. At verse, he said to do this, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Got all that. So all to the praise of God. Saying the right things with the right words, the wisdom of God. And it is how you say it. You know, you look at somebody and says, I look at your face, time stands still. It's wonderful, isn't it? But you could say, I look at your face and a clock stops. Didn't I say the same thing? You see, got to be careful how we look at God, what God's saying, and what He wants us to think about. And understand there's a right thing in the right place at the right time. And to recognize the truth. You know, quote scripture and things, you know, whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And anybody that's ever studied the Bible understands you keep things in context, right? But there are people that take things out of context. And I can tell you, you know, we'll never have to mow the lawn again, Alan. We won't ever have to do that, because whatsoever God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Don't you dare cut a blade of grass. Don't ever peel a banana again. And that's what people do with the Word of God. They twist and pervert it to their own destruction because they're not listening to the wisdom of God. They're letting the wisdom of the flesh intermingle. That's why Satan said to Jesus, I'll give you all this if you'll just bow down to me. If you'll just do this, you know. The angel said it'll happen if you just, you say the word, it'll be done. And Jesus said, it is written. If the Son of God had to turn to Satan and say, it's written. In other words, Satan, you pay attention to what God has revealed and what's written down in His Word. You pay attention. If the Son of God had to do that and needed to do that to this creature who wasn't a human being, more powerful than a human being, created by God, who used to walk in and out of the throne room of God and slander mankind, which He can't do now, who used to have the keys of the kingdom of death, but now is the prince of the power of the air. That's as far as He gets. That's why He doesn't want you to get from out of this atmosphere into God's atmosphere. You ever notice why Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus died and the angels escorted him to Abraham's bosom? The rich man died and was buried. Nothing about any angels escorting him anywhere. I tell you, you got to walk in God. You got to walk with God. If you walk with God today, you'll be with Him escorted by the light, the children of light, angels that glorify God because they see the wisdom of God in you, in us as a collective body. It's all about that. Why? Well, so that we might be in submission to one another in the fear of God. Submission to God. Not. See, you know, the whole thing is directed by God. And our submission to one another is in the fear of God. It's never about what we may look at in regards to one another, or about holding somebody under our thumb. Because it's got to be God's thumb, not my thumb. See? It's got to be God's judgments, not my judgments. It's got to be God's word, not my word. Philippians 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. It's a wonderful thing, this whole attitude that we're supposed to have and the way that we're supposed to think. If everybody thought like God, this place would be great. Well, that's what God wants us to do. And the sad part about it is many are called, but few are chosen. And you look at the world, it's under the sway of the evil one. The Bible says that. I didn't make that up. 1 John chapter 5, I think around verse 13. The world is under the sway of the evil one. That's why you need to escape the world. You know, we're not going to wait for a comet, though. You know, we're not going to wait to, you know, put on some special clothing and then check out. You know, in baptism, he says you put to death the old man. You know, you're still living and breathing. And by the way, when you come up out of the water grave of baptism, your brain doesn't turn to iron. Your flesh doesn't turn to steel. You're still a human being. You come up out of that water grave of baptism, you crucified the old man with his passions. Now, a lot of people don't think about getting that far. They think about, I want to save myself, I want my sins washed away. You know, and that's, I'm going to be baptized for that. And not think much about the Lord's body and being added to the church, about that we are renewed in our thinking, that we're born again, that we're babies. Babies. And what happens to a baby when it comes into the world? It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be fed the right food. It needs to be educated so that it can become mature. A creature that's useful for something, right? Well, same way spiritually. You know, some people think that, I'll just be baptized and everything's going to just automatically happen. I'll just be able to just shun the devil. I'll just be able to do this and do that and nothing will ever go wrong. And then what happens? Well, life enters in. You get discouraged. Somebody slaps you. Somebody says something to you. Somebody, you know, after about 6 months about being a new convert, you figure out, well, the people that's been in church for 50 years are, you know, they're coming and they're I don't need to do anything. You know, good Christians, you know, good Christians. You know, how can you be a better Christian? You know, you either a Christian or you're not. There's not a better one. But we in our thinking, though, think you can be better, right? How can I be better at it? Well, it's not the fact that I can be better at it. I just let God do what He wants to do with me. How more good can He get? The goodness of God. Add these things to your trust and confidence, Peter says. Use diligence. Take this knowledge, add things. How do you do that? Well, you think on it. You walk in the wisdom of God. It's good to see you here today. It's good that we've been able to study these lessons. Tonight we'll talk about the armor that we need to put on. And to understand that it's not just an external thing. This outward life as a Christian, it's got to start from the inside. You know, our religion really is inside out. You can't be a Christian unless you are one from the inside out, not from the outside in. And this is important to understand about committing oneself to God. Sure, we urge people, warn them. Colossians says that the preaching of the word was to warn every man that they may be presented complete in Christ to God. And that's what this is all about. Save yourself from this wicked world. How? Believe God.
send his son, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, repentance, changing your will, just focusing on the fact, I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, I want to do your will, Father, not my will, help me do that, be baptized for the remission of your sins, let the blood of Christ wash away your sins, let God add you to His body, the church, let Christ rule in your life. Crucify the old man and the passions of the flesh, the lusts. Rise up as a new creature henceforth, not to serve sin, but to serve God. That's what it's about. Look for the acceptable things. And then realize you need to be nurtured. Realize that you're a baby. You know, just don't be a big baby, but a baby in Christ that needs to grow up in Christ. That's what the Bible says all the time. Grow up in Christ. You know, and to focus on it and think about it and use diligence toward that. Always desire that. You hungry? What are you hungry for? Oh, the flesh, you know. The flesh. The things of the flesh. The lusty eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Give me, give me, give me. But hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. And He will fill you up. You escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And why is that? Because, you see, the world is under the sway of the evil one. And the evil one is telling you that your wisdom, that you, your desire, your rationale, your logic is going to make you great. No, it won't. You'll die in corruption. You'll die separated from God. We need to walk with God now so we can walk with Him in eternity. Adam and Eve walked with God every day, talked with God every day until they stopped listening to God. And God says He wants us to come back in a relationship with Him. And He gives us that opportunity through Jesus Christ that we may be His. That we may save ourselves from this corruption. That we may be filled with the divine nature. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That the angels in heaven can look down and see us lowly, pathetic human creatures glorify God in word and deed. And they turn to their Creator and say, glory, hallelujah, wonderful, almighty. That's what God's looking for. And that we walk in His wisdom to do that. In a relationship with Him. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while we stand and sing?